It's the Podmatic Podcast for March 11th, 2015. On this episode, we get our Tin Man on.
I'm a robot.
Actually, the Tin Man is not a robot.
I'm talking like a robot.
He's an automaton or a magical being.
He's magical.
He's like more of a cyborg, wouldn't you say? Or he's a magical being. Let's see.
I'm not a nerd, so those are all the same things to me. This is the Podmatic Podcast, where you can rock out with your library card out. I'm Brian, and joining me today are...
Amanda.
Hello, I am Mike.
Jeremy.
Mail.
On this episode...
and the Mike 9000 robot was Bill. Created by the IBM Corporation.
We honor our future overlords. On this episode, we honor our future overlords, the robots. Artificial intelligence is a reoccurring theme in sci-fi. But it seems to have a certain cachet in Hollywood. Again, Chappie, directed by Neil Blomkamp. Did I say his name right?
Blomkamp.
Right? That's coming out. That's coming out. Like, that came out this weekend. Ex Machina, directed by Alex Garland, will be coming out April 10th.
I think it's Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina. Mike.
Yeah.
I was, Mike. You know, there's only so far I could go before.
Hey.
Gotta throw down the snob card 3 minutes into the podcast.
Your snob card's
plus two.
Yeah, I know, right?
Now roll modifier.
Hey, guys. Come on. Roll modifier.
We're not even through the intro yet.
Talking about robots this week, and I'm starting us off by not talking about robots because cyborgs are not robots, and I know this, so please don't write letters or give us angry comments.
I'd be okay with that. You're totally wrong.
Yeah. Part of me would fill with rage, but you know, people get it wrong all the time, like androids and robots.
Exactly. So, like, we're talking about robots, and I might as well be talking about a train movie.
A robot train movie?
Anyone?
Going off the rails?
No. That was a reference to last week's episode.
Nobody got it. And continue.
So we're not...
Oh, the theme was weather, and I talked about the station ages.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, the train
movie. There you go.
Movie,
there
right.
you go.
Yeah, so, who knows what train movie I'll talk about this week.
So I'm talking about cyborgs, not robots. But let me tell you that if someone with a metal body and an electronic monotone voice is chasing after me chanting, you will be upgraded or you will become like us, I'm not going to stop and wonder if there's any organic material underneath their metal skin. If it walks like a man and looks like a tin can, it is a robot, the same way a Coke is a Sprite is a Dr. Pepper to some crazy people. And if that makes me some sort of mechanoid bigot, then so be it.
So wrong.
So what sort of silvery devil chases innocent humans saying things like that? Cybermen, of course, in the pantheon of Doctor Who bad guys, the Cybermen are like less ridiculous Daleks. They're evil, persistent, and often difficult to understand. They also have legs, and they don't have toilet plungers.
They have
on
little
the
handles
ends
on the side of their heads.
Yeah, they got handles on the side. It's convenient to rip their heads off. So the Cybermen first appeared in the 1966 story, The Tenth Planet. This was the last story to feature the first Doctor, William Hartnell. And so it not only gave us a villain whose threat survives to this day, it also gave us the Doctor's signature longevity-extending device, regeneration. These early Cybermen looked like sock puppets with flash bulbs strapped to their heads, but they were tough enough to make old Bill Hartnell turn into Patrick Troughton. And as the second Doctor, Patrick Troughton fought the Cybermen in the moon base and also in the excellent Tomb of the Cybermen. Tomb of the Cybermen is available at the library on the first Doctor's Revisited set, which features stories from the first four Doctors Who. This story sees the Doctor and his companions follow an archaeological team deep into an underground tomb filled with booby traps, and there's this constant ominous drone in the back, and it's really creepy and sort of makes you understand how, like, British people say they used to watch Doctor Who from behind the couch. So even more scary in this episode is the Cybermen's rebirth from these hive-like tombs. It's like they pop out of these, like, insect shells and then all come marching toward the camera, and it's very, very creepy. And for a show more notorious for its special effects than renowned, this scene is an object lesson in doing a lot with a little. The library also has the Attack of the Cybermen story in its collection, which features Colin Baker as the sixth Doctor. This was a hit or miss period for the series, and not just because of the Doctor's Technicolor Dreamcoat. But even at its worst, Doctor Who in the 1980s was something to behold. So check out any of the Cybermen stories that we have in our collection. You will not be let down. Bill, what robot is chasing you through your dreams?
Well, what movie influenced Gene Roddenberry to create Star Trek? I'll cut to the chase. Forbidden Planet. Forbidden Planet is considered to be one of the great science fiction films. I feel that's debatable. It has great things about it. The music score, it's filmed in CinemaScope, and it's ambitious because it's inspired by The Tempest by William Shakespeare. If you really want to know how I feel, read Danny Perry's essay in his book, Cult Movies, The Classics, The Sleepers, The Weird, and The Wonderful. What I do love about Forbidden Planet is Robbie the Robot. Robbie the Robot is a true icon of science fiction cinema. Interesting enough, he's the most interesting character in the movie Forbidden Planet. Robbie the Robot has also appeared in the episode called Uncle Simon on the Twilight Zone. He appeared in The Invisible Boy, Columbo, Adam's Family, Lost in Space, and The Simpsons. So check out Forbidden Planet to see Robbie the Robot, who was also inducted into the Robot Hall of Fame in 2004. Briefly, Leonard Nimoy passed away on February 27, 2015, at the age of 83. In 1995, Leonard Nimoy plays a retired civil rights attorney hired to defend a robot after his creator is killed. It's called iRobot, and it was directed by Adam Nimoy, whose father, of course, is Leonard Nimoy. The show iRobot was part of The Outer Limits, which you can now download on Hoopla. Interestingly enough, the original Outer Limits did another version of iRobot, which also starred Leonard Nimoy. Unfortunately, that's not available anymore, but if you can find it, I highly recommend watching both. Also in our collection, I was just looking around at Leonard Nimoy's, and we have both his books, I Am Spock, I Am Not Spock, and also his son has written a book called My Incredibly Wonderful Miserable Life, an anti-memoir. So that's by Adam Nimoy. Of course, since Leonard has passed away, these books are now on hold and checked out. So all I've got to say is live long and prosper. Amanda.
I'm going to talk about nice robots.
I like that.
I'm going to mix it up a little bit.
Robbie's pretty cool. He like mixes drinks for the crew and stuff.
Well, I saw the preview for Chappie the other day, and I got traumatized by Hugh Jackman's hair. I'm trying to go a different route.
It's like a mullet or something.
Well, you know, it's
horrible. Like it can't even be a mullet.
It's so distracting, like, and like it's like
got
a black
straight
hole.
Bangs,
your eyes
and then he's
just
got,
going towards it.
Yeah, I'm like the nightmare.
He's just like Wolverine here.
I wish that'd be cool.
He's the best at what he does.
So okay, I'm going to set the scene. So it's 2005. And it is my last night in London, and all of my friends want to go to a pub and get a pint and watch some soccer. And I don't want to
football.
Do any. I'm not a big drinker. I don't like football of any flavor. And I'm just like, I don't want to sit in a smoky pub for the next 5 hours. So I decided I was going to go exploring. So I hopped on the tube and somehow ended up in Leicester Square, and was just kind of wandering around. And for those of you that don't know, there's a bunch of movie theaters in Leicester Square. And so I was kind of looking to see what was out. And one of them, there was Closer, which was that movie with Natalie Portman.
Oh, yes.
So I was like, okay, well, I'll go see that. So I went to have a nice dinner. And it was really crowded, so I kind of had to hurry. And so on my way back to go see Closer, I walked by this other theater, and they were showing the movie Robots. And it was the animated flick, and it had Robin Williams in it, and Ewan McGregor, who I like. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to this one. So I totally switched, went in, and there was about seven of us in the theater, and so they watched the movie. The movie is basically Ewan McGregor plays Rodney Copperbottom. He's, you know, the boy next door, and he's an inventor, and he wants to go to the big city so he can make his way and work for this big corporation who ends up being the evil corporation. And along the way, he hooks up with Fender, played by the often imitated but never duplicated Robin Williams, and he provides the comic relief. Amanda Bynes is also in it as their friend Piper, and Jennifer Coolidge plays a great big-bottomed Aunt Fanny robot. She's where they stay in the city. It's hilarious. I just remember there was a gentleman behind me that just had one of those big, huge guffaw laughs that he just cackled through the whole thing, and it was awesome. So I don't know if I would have enjoyed it as much if he hadn't enjoyed it as much. But it was definitely a very good movie. We still have several copies on DVD, and it is a good watch. If you have not seen Robots, I would definitely recommend it.
You know who loves that movie is Jess Horn. In
oh, yeah?
She loves that
Well, this
movie.
One's for Jess, then. Craig, you can tell Jess that we said hi.
Hi, Jess. It's a good adjustment, too, for seeing a movie in a theater and also, mm-hmm. like, the experience of seeing a movie. So you have a story about that movie.
Yeah.
And, like, the vibe in the room is good, and it just, like, it's worth it to go
Much
see a
Much better than a pub with a pint yeah. and some football.
Now that I've said that, get the DVD from the library.
Most people have theater
in
rooms
In 2005,
now
TV, a home theater was not the same as now.
That's true. Yeah, it was like a TV. Back porch.
Back in the old days.
Square back then.
13 inches?
Yeah.
It's big.
I'm sure you could probably get like some sort of app that mimics theater sounds, like guy's laugh.
Norman, I'm going to get some popcorn.
I stepped in some gum again.
It's not quite the same, but you know.
You want some crisps? We don't have crisps.
Shut up, I'm watching the movie.
You were with my Above parents me. When they went to the UK?
Well, before I start off, I'd like to, you know, I don't believe Bill forgot to mention that Creepshow's Leslie Nielsen was in Forbidden Planet.
You get a Creepshow card to play.
Yeah, I know. Like to invoke the Creepshow card. Every week. What is next?
Hey,
week?
Everybody was a creep show at some point.
This is going to be like the Kevin universe. Bacon like thing.
So I thought to talk about.
You got a lot of notes there.
Yeah,
I'm
I know.
Sure
it's,
you know
I'm trying
what you're
to like get my trying to organize my notes together as I like.
So, for those who are listening, not those who are watching. Mike has a post-it with maybe one sentence on it.
Oh, yeah. So when I got Netflix, I was really snotty about the star system. I didn't give anything 5 stars for, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years until I saw the movie today. I was like, you know, I need to revise my star system because, like, you know, they'll recommend do things based on your stars. And, you know, I'd get an entire queue worth of like, well, Mike, you give this a meh. Or you give this an okay, Mike. I'm like, surely I like things, right? You know, I need to like, you know, beef up my system. So I saw this movie and then I was like, I'll give that 5 stars. I loved it so much. I watched it twice on the streaming before they took it away. It's called Moon from 2009, directed by Duncan Jones, son of David Bowie. Also directed Source Code, which is also amazing. The stars Sam Rockwell and Kevin Spacey, and now my notes are done.
Sam Rockwell plays a yeast lord.
That's a reference to Gentleman Broncos, which is the most. Some blogospheres have pointed this out as the most underrated movie ever that's come out in the last couple of years. But sorry to interrupt, Mike.
Yeah, you know,
he's done with his notes. He's good.
Derailing my train here.
I was just
trying. Sam Rockwell plays a yeast lord in the Broncos.
Wow. Okay.
But he's also the star of
Bread Baking Powers. Yes. So Sam Rockwell plays a miner on the moon. And his sole job is to oversee the machines that mine for some sort of substance. Anyway, he oversees the machines, and he's got like a you know 5 year span. And his only companion is a robot played by Kevin Spacey. And as Kevin Spacey, instead of doing his normal like creepy bad guy thing, he's like, "Oh, bright and cheerful. Hey, buddy, what are you going to do today?" And it's like, because you know you can tell it's Kevin Spacey, but like he's like weirdly like almost too happy. And sometimes he gets transmissions from his family. But most of the time he's like building a, you know, matchstick house. And then a horrifying accident happens, which, you know, I don't want to spoil anything because it's like pretty shocking. But eventually you find out that maybe he's not there. He's there for a different reason. It's very cool. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of almost like a play in that, like, it's basically all in one room, you know, and it's the only interactions between, you know, a dude and a robot. You know, the robot is totes adorbs to say, like, what his mood is. Like, they have, like, a little smiley face that changes based on, like, you know, what emotion he has to portray because he's basically got this, like, happy, cheerful monotone the whole time, which is pretty neat. It's a great movie. Really kind of, like, high sci-fi concept, which I, you know, I've mentioned in the show that I like. Good times. What do we got, Brian?
I was confused about the plot because yes. What I misremembered was the awesome thing that we're not going to spoil.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it because it's pretty early in the film, so it's kind of like, but there's a accident occurs, and, you know, it's kind of...
You're spoiling it.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
And I totally forgot that the robot, even though it's a robot, It's very non-human. It's like this.
Very, yes. It's like, it's on wheels.
It's like a throwback 1950s. What's the robot in Pee Wee Herman called?
Conky.
More like
written on my
more like Conky, right?
All
right. It's more like, more like a Conky kind of robot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I totally forgot that it was played by Kevin Spacey. But now that I remember the nature of the twist ending, it's all clear. And hopefully this is tickling everyone's fancy to go see this movie. It's good. And I wondered, on an earlier episode, I kind of asserted that Moon actually was maybe influential because there were like these sci-fi survival stories are now kind of like a thing that's getting made again. And I think if I remember correctly, you maybe scoffed a little bit in a mic way when I suggested that. So I just wondered what you thought about that idea.
I can see that. I think the Dissolve had a really interesting article on the rise of low-budget sci-fi in the past couple of years. And I think, Moon was one of the first ones. And
it was, like, darkly whimsical. Am I remembering that correctly?
I remember it. Moon has a kind of somber tone, I think. You know, it's kind
but it had, like, sort of like a, I think the robot, I feel like, kind of.
The robot I really liked. It's very cheerful.
It was really isolated feeling and, like, kind of depressing, but then the robot kind of brought you out of that. But what movie that Brian and I watched that makes me think of that movie, which was a complete opposite of it in terms of success, because it was a horrible movie, was Space Station 76. Have you guys seen
that? Oh, I didn't make it 20 minutes of that movie.
I sort of fast-forwarded it to see, like, okay, where is this going?
And I was so excited.
It was horrible.
I was like, you know, oh, so they're going to make a modern movie using special effects and plot devices from 1976 using modern actors. That's clever.
Yeah.
You know, where are they going to go? Oh, no, they're not going to go anywhere with this.
Yep, it's just going to be
people
like,
hanging out for 2 hours. Yeah. I thought, like, aliens would come in or robots or something.
Yeah, there's, like, smoking pot and stuff. And like,
well, spoiler for Space Station 76, eventually the space station does get grazed by a meteor.
Yeah.
I've ruined it!
Oh, no!
Oh, no! Something happened. I should check that out again.
I told Jeremy this, but there is, like, some drama that plays out between the characters, but it's really like the book and the movie The Ice Storm, except in space.
Okay.
Even the same time period. Like, it's the 70s, and then these people have this drama. But anyway.
I just watched The Ice Storm. Coincidence.
Well, that's how it is. How the ice, right?
I saw the preview for that on some movie, and I thought, oh, I should see that. The best part was in the preview where he's, like, looking at the control panel, and he pushes a button, and then a minute later, like, some funky music kicks in, and it pops up, and it's a cigarette lighter, and he lights a cigarette from the dash of the ship.
See, I got so excited because those are the kind of sci-fi movies that
I kind of... That was the highest point of the movie was lighting a cigarette. I
grew up with those kind of, you know, Battle Beyond the Stars.
Sure.
And, you know, that kind of... I mean, of course, you know, your typical Star Wars and stuff. But, like, you know, when the Star Wars came out, they had that boom of, like, you know, ridiculous...
Ice Pirates.
The Ice Pirates!
Just to, you know, bring it back into, you know, save us from drowning in the nerd pool again. Do you think Patrick Wilson is kind of getting tired of being typecast as, like, the troubled normal guy? Like, straight-laced but filled with demons? Do you think he's tired of playing that character? Because he gets cast as that all the time now.
He's got that niche, you know?
I guess, I mean, hey, he's a famous working actor. You know what I mean? Cool. He's living a dream. All right. So there were some obvious heavy hitters that we overlooked. I'm just going to do some quick rundowns. Prometheus.
That really famous,
very attractive actor that played the robot David in Prometheus.
Michael Fassbender.
Yes, okay, right? Yeah. RoboCop? No mention of Brett Spiner's epic performance as
Mr.
Data on Star Trek The Next Generation.
There was a lot of stuff that I dismissed early on because I thought, well, that's not a robot, that's an android, or that's a cyborg. And then by the time I kind of got to crunch time, I was like, I don't care.
I don't think there
are message boards where you can argue about that thing for that kind of thing for a long, long time. Don't worry about
it. If you got mechanized parts, you're a robot.
Yeah,
I don't care.
That's a bringing up the Terminator.
Then there's Hyle.
Hal?
Yes.
Hal?
Hello, Dave.
Terminator? Blade Runner, which they're going to make a sequel of, all about this.
Conky from Pee Wee, Conky 2000.
How about Pacific Rim?
Blade Runner.
No, he said Blade Runner.
I didn't see that movie.
Pacific Rim?
I didn't say Pacific Rim.
Okay. How about Real Steel? You guys forgot all about Real Steel. Speaking of Hugh Jackman and his commitment to crappy movies and crappy roles, how about iRobot? How about iRobot the book and the movie? Like all these, like, there were...
How about the upcoming Avengers Age of Ultron?
There are...
Rocky 3.
Yep. Rocky, oh, because he has a robot.
Yeah. Oh, Pauly had a relationship with a robot.
That's great.
And I probably my favorite that deals with this is, I guess this, I mean like the idea of artificial intelligence, is the movie Artificial Intelligence, which I love that movie. A lot of people are kind of so-so on it. Mm-hmm. I love that movie. I have a question for you guys. If you guys probably do not remember this movie this well. But at the very end, is it aliens or super evolved robots that come and find Haley Joel Osment?
I've heard both, but, you know.
He sees dead people. That's what he said.
Ah, damn it.
I win.
Okay.
I've never seen that movie.
I always assumed it was aliens, but then
me too. Yeah,
but I've heard the theory since that maybe he's like their ancestor, so they respect him.
It's my understanding that in the script or the, you know, what's all the research material that Kubrick would do for a movie, whatever that's.
Oh, yeah, five or six years.
Is there an industry term for that? Like all the background
obsession,
right? All the background and research material for the went into the making of the movie is. The people that come and find him are supposed to be super evolved aliens.
Well, what about
no, sorry, I'm sorry. Brian, Johnny, no brain. They're super evolved robots, right? And then, and like you said, they're interested in him because he's like an unevolved robot.
Well, what about the story that it's based on? Does the story have any insight into that? It's
sci-fi guys.
It's called Toys by Brian Aldiss.
It's called
it's like Brian Aldiss story.
Super Toys.
Super Toys last all the
You got it. You got it.
And it's Brian Aldiss. It is Brian Aldiss.
Right? Yes, it is.
I just thought it was aliens. I guess it's not supposed to be aliens. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, what I really wanted to talk about today, happy robots. Robots that make us happy. Who am I speaking of? Real life people. Kraftwerk, the German band Kraftwerk. Now, they weren't like this when they started, but now their live show has evolved into, they basically come out on stage and pretend to be robots, right? And they have these little pedestals in front of them, and the idea is that they're robots playing the music. Now, Kraftwerk is known for very simple rhythms that don't change, that are always made on keyboards and synthesizers, like no real instruments. But I think in there are also some very memorable melodies, and that's really what makes really good pop songs. Mm-hmm. And like for me, the Kraftwerk album that kind of embodies this is Computer World, and the song Computer World, and the little melody in the song Computer World, like it's stuck in my head all the time. It's earworm.
That was wunderbar.
Yeah, no. And then, of course, it's really good. There's two versions of Computer World on the album Computer World and Computer World 2 in perfect Kraftwerk fashion. And Computer World 2 is really just that melody over and over again, like just pitched differently. So I love Computer World. One of the lines is the robot voice saying, Computer World, and it's in my head all the time. It's the ultimate earworm.
What Brian thinks like now when he's around the desk.
Paying attention when Kraftwerk was really putting out their albums, when they sort of their sort of peak period that they're known for, so that'd be like late 70s, early 80s. And it seemed like at the time, at least to me, it seems like maybe they're perceived as like a novelty act. But now, because their work is so influential and there's so much electronic music, it's so like a very famously a lot of hip hop producers like sample them. Like they've become very influential, and I think now they're like way more critically regarded than they used to be. And I think whenever they first started, too, especially in the 70s, they were futurists in the sense that they had this, like, this is what the future is going to be like, and it's this ideal version of the future, and maybe it's tongue-in-cheek. But now I think they have more cachet. That's my new word. I use it all the time. And I love it. And I love it. I don't care. I'm willing to admit certain things.
Very fond of catch it myself.
I think that they
catch up.
I think that they have a certain cachet because their aesthetic is actually retro futurist, mm-hmm. and it's actually like more hip now, even though at the time it was like unhip. So Kraftwerk, Computer World, most of their entire discography is on Hoopla. Check it out.
What are we doing now on Tickle My Fancy?
Well, we're talking about stuff that we enjoyed this week that may possibly tickle our fancy.
Oh.
Well, it's the same tickling my fancy as it was last week. I just wanted to promote our movies at Maine. We're showing Lone Wolf McQuade Saturday, March 14th, 2015 at 2 p.m. To give you a brief synopsis, the Mad Dog Criminal, the Lone Wolf Lawman, the Ultimate Showdown. Movies at Maine presents Chuck Norris and the late David Carradine in Lone Wolf McQuade, a spaghetti western with kung fu fighting. Don't miss our Legends of Film interview with the director, Steve Carver. It's free. Jeremy?
Nice. I want to thank Bill for pointing my attention to a recent episode of Fresh Air with Terry Gross. An interview with Chris Offit, who I talked about a few weeks. His memoir is going to be called My Dad, the Pornographer, and it doesn't come out until next year. But so in the meantime, if you are interested in a guy whose dad wrote a lot of pornography, you can read his story in the New York Times Magazine from a few weeks ago, or check out the episode of Fresh Air on the NPR website. I also started reading Kim Gordon's Girl in a Band, which is now available in the catalog, and it's already pretty enthralling. And I don't want to read it for the juiciness of the dissolution of her marriage, but I'm sort of surprised by the frankness that is even on the first page, like from the very beginning. It is very open and pretty engrossing so far.
Can I say what the rumor is around town? Never mind, that's not important.
What's the rumor around town? So that's a good book.
No transition. All right.
Yeah.
No segue.
Yeah, we need to.
I didn't know this was about charcuterie. I got nothing. Hey, Mike.
So I was going to talk about the last month's Sword and Laser Book Club pick, Annihilation by Jeff Vandermeer. Mm. Pretty cool. It's about an expedition to the mysterious Area X. There have been 11 previous expeditions, and all of them have ended poorly. Their current expedition is composed of, like, 4 women. There's, like, the anthropologist, the surveyor, the psychologist, and the biologist. It's written by the biologist's point of view. There are no names in the entire book. Like, they're only, like, species names, or, like, she'll talk about her husband, but not what his name was. I thought that was an interesting kind of style choice. I think it's kind of neat, too, because apparently it's taking place in contemporary somewhere in the world today, but nobody acknowledges that this place exists, which is interesting, except for like an organization called the Southern Reach. Pretty neat. It sounds like, you know, kind of nature taking back that kind of deal, but more interesting, I guess. It's about the first book in a trilogy. He wrote all three of them came out last year, and they've since been collected into like one collection. Good stuff, like the first one, Annihilation by Jeff Vandermeer. Who we got, Amanda?
So I'm going to kind of stick to the robot theme, but like Brian, I'm going to kind of go to music land as well. Just yesterday, I was kind of listening to new music that was coming out, and there was a song called Where Are You Now? And I am so ashamed of myself because this is a Justin Bieber song. And
no.
I feel like I should banish myself to Canada.
So wowzers.
But.
You can Spock your fives if you go.
It is not just Justin Bieber. It is actually a Skrillex song that features Justin Bieber, which I don't know if that makes it better or worse. So looking at it, it's actually from an album that Skrillex dropped last week, I believe, called Skrillex and Diplo Present Jack U, and has an umlaut on the U because that makes it cooler.
Jack U.
Couldn't find you anywhere. When you broke down, I didn't leave you. I was by your side. So where are you now that I need you? Where are you now that I need you?
Brian may know. I have not heard of Diplo before. I don't know. Brian's into all this.
You
tech.
Have heard of Diplo before.
I have? Okay, nah, same. Well, so I was looking up stuff online, and so there was a great review by Dan Weiss in Spin Magazine. I want to read you part of it. He explained, think of Diplo as the Pharrell of Jack U, the off-key frontman who can't resist the chance to insert his mugging self into works by 2 Chainz and Missy Elliott, while Skrillex is Chad Hugo, the secret weapon, the silent anchor, the Ludwig von Beethoven conducting side-change symphonies from his spaceship. thought that was cool.
Drop the bass.
So, and the rest of the album, like, I've since listened to the rest of the album, and it is really cool, but I'm sorry that I like the Justin Bieber song the best.
Well, you know.
I'm kind of embarrassed, but it is a good, it's got this really cool, like, rainforesty, fluty, like, hook, electro-sonicized. Electric rainforest flute in the background.
Electric rainforest flute.
Yeah, it's really, and that's what makes it cool. Like,
that's my solo album.
Zamfir joins the 21st century.
I tell you what. So anyway, so I don't know that we have it yet. It was on Spotify. I don't know. I haven't checked if the library has it, but
most of the singles that Diplo puts out, like, can be streamed on his record label's website, Mad Decent, and, like, I don't blame you for liking that, because usually he can make a really good single, but I don't know about whole albums.
Well, I liked the song before I knew that it was Justin Bieber. So.
He was recently embroiled in a controversy because he used some artist's...
Diplo was?
Yeah, like some visual artist's drawing without attributing it to her, and then she called him out on it, and then instead of... He apologized, and then people were like, hey, you stole that, and then he made some very lewd comments about charcuterie.
That I'm not going to link to. Yes, his non-apology was sort of maybe more offensive than the fact that he...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he kind of made him like just saying, like, oh, I'm sorry here. And then he was like, yo, I'm just trolling y'all. Word.
Corrections! We were a little wishy-washy about this, but in Tennessee, Severe Weather Preparedness Week is February 15th through the 21st. Uh-oh. Coming up, Flood Safety Awareness Week is March 15th through the 21st.
The Severe Weather Preparedness Week was the week of the storm, of the ice storm.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
It makes perfect sense.
It's like they planned it.
What a coinkydink.
So, the weather guys got it right for once!
Not a coincidence, guys.
Heat Awareness Day.
Weather wizards. Seed clouding.
Wait.
Cloud seeding.
Seed clouding.
Chemtrails.
Heat Awareness Day, May 22nd. Lightning Safety Awareness Week, June 21st through the 27th.
Don't stand under a tree. Let's say that for a week.
Winter Weather Preparedness Week, November 15th through the 21st. Only a few months off. Okay.
When's cold and flu season week?
Now.
yesterday.
Other minor corrections. The film The Great Flood that will be coming to the Belcourt is about the 1927 Mississippi flood, not the Johnstown flood.
Ooh.
That'll
Fair.
Be March 30th with live accompaniment by Bill Frisell. I am not a grammar, enforcer person. I butcher the English language for my pleasure on this podcast.
I feel a butt coming on.
Yeah, but this is a clever Sieg for.
I said the word irregardless, which isn't
a word. Oh, yeah, I was going to say not a word.
Which
I
isn't a word.
I almost corrected you.
Which isn't a word.
I almost
It's fun, though. Like, I use it for fun.
There's,
irregardless.
It has to be pretty bad for Johnny No Brain to notice, right?
So, what's he think about the podcast?
Wait, you just gave away your secret identity.
Johnny No Brain.
Wow.
He wears a leather jacket.
But for more...
He uses his head as a coaster.
Probably rides a motorbike, too. For more information, you can go to about... Wait, more information about what? I don't know. Floods, weather awareness, proper grammar.
The Weather Wizard.
The Weather Wizard.
Lightning.
You can go to
www.library.nashville.org.
And our theme music is by
Adam Dean.
But next week, the Ides of March. And
beware,
lend us your ears, listeners.
I thought it was the IDs of March.
Are they fake?
I don't know.
Damn smart weather.
I thought, I'll say that and then I'll have a good... tag for it, but
still working on that.
Yeah, that was the Ids of March.
Yeah, yeah.
We're gonna like break.
You know, it's about
and,
Freud.
I'm gonna read. I'm gonna read the.
I'm gonna talk
of
about
Id.
The superego today.
Today I have a collection of the Wizard of Id comic by Mort Drucker. Mort Drucker is not the artist of Wizard of Id.
And you're the only one that knows that.
Yeah, I'm like, well, it's the same artist as BC, but different writer, right?
No, Mort Drucker was
Dick Brown or something? Or?
Mort Drucker was the Mad Magazine like character.
I thought Mort Drucker was the Beetle Bailey guy.
It's a more different Mort. Mort.
Fine?
Walker.
No. Walker.
No, Walker.
I think it's Beetle Mort Bailey Walker, guy. Yeah. How about Rosie from the Jetsons?
I saw a picture.
Well, I was thinking of that TV. We didn't have it, but that TV show, Small Wonder.
Oh, yeah, Small Wonder.
God.
I went there. Creepy show.
I love that show.
I really liked that show.
I loved her neighbor.
Vicky.
She's a small wonder.
It used to come out on Sunday mornings here. I don't know.
Oh, no. Ours was on like a weeknight.
Syndicated.
Oh,
it no, it was on weekends.
It was Sunday mornings. You know, it was like I would wake up and I thought, oh,
we had 5 days a week. They abused that
five
poor
days
girl.
A week?
Oh, yeah.
She's
yeah.
a robot. She just recharges.
She's like,
it's
Vicky,
all good.
Give me a Coke. Vicky, clean up that mess. Okay, oh, Father. Oh.
And the thingy from Buck Rogers. Beady, beady, beady.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Papadopoulos. What was his name?
Papadopoulos?
Something like what?
Huey, Dewey, and Louie from Silent Running.
Yeah.
Which influenced C-3PO and from Star Wars.
What? Batteries not included?
Twiggy. Twiggy? From Buck Rogers? Twiggy.
Twinkie.
And what's the doctor around his neck? The little in the circle. Yeah. It's like Papadopoulos.
It is something like that, yeah.
It's not Papadopoulos. Doctor.
The weird medallion that would talk.
Yes.
And Robot from Lost in Space.
Uh-huh. And K-9 from Dr.
We didn't talk K-9.
About K-9. No, I didn't.
Short Circuit.
That's the biggest elephant in the smallest of rooms. Short Circuit. Thank you.
Oh. And oh, I'm sorry. Wow, I didn't know you'd like gone full snob with that one. Wow. Actually, you know, the biggest elephant would be R.U.R., Carol Capek's play, which the word robot came from. Oh,
what about
I'm sorry.
Hardak from Batman the Animated Series?
Ah.
And the Iron Giant.
Look at all these robots. It's like they've influenced our culture.
We could have done 13 episodes on this.
Do you think I'm linking to all these?
Are there dirty robots?
To me, I'm a robot.
Well, this is
going to
be the end credits bit, so, you know.
What about the Fembots from
The Fembots from The Stepford Wives.
Yeah.
Those are creepy.
She's a small wonder, lovely and bright and soft curls. She's a small wonder, a child unlike other girls. She's a miracle, and I grant you, she'll enchant you at her sight. She's a small wonder, and she'll make your heart take flight. La 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 la. Microchips here and there. She's a small wonder. Brings love.